Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Two different places. Luke chapter number 13. I'm going to read just five verses there, and then I'm going to turn to the first chapter of the book of Lamentations. Luke chapter number 13. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them. Think you they that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Lamentations chapter number 1. How doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How has she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations and princess among the provinces, how has she become tributary? She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she hath none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction, because of great servitude. She dwelleth among the heathen. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the straits. The ways of Zion do mourn because none come to the solemn feasts. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh. Her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. Her adversaries are the chief. Her enemies prosper, for the Lord hath afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children are gone into captivity before the enemy. I want to stop right there. Father, thank you for your word. I praise, Lord, we look upon this truth that you would encourage our hearts in the midst of reproof. Help us to recognize the importance of repentance and earnestly seeking you, turning from our own ways, our own wickedness, and living in a way that is starkly different than this world. Help us, we pray. You know the need. You know our hearts. And so we earnestly ask that you hear us today. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title in the book of Luke, chapter 13, at least in that section, says a call to repentance. There's never been a time within the history of man that repentance wasn't necessary. There's never been a time that man wasn't a sinner. Never been a time that we weren't transgressors. But there have been times that are worse than others. There have been times when some, or even a majority in some circumstances, had devoted or given themselves to God. And then there are also those times that we read about in the scripture where it seems the majority of people had turned their back upon him and found that judgment followed after. I'm grateful that God was gracious in his judgment. You say, how can that be? God tarried his judgment year after year after year. Prophet after prophet came to Israel and told them of their sin. and warned them of their need to repent and to turn back to God. And year after year, they rejected them, they killed them, they done away with them, they did everything they could to reject the word of God in the time of grace that came to them. Israel is a prime example. We have the book, and it gives us over and over, book after book, prophet after prophet, that God recorded his word for all that would come after to read this truth and be reminded that those that turn against God will come to an end. There is a judgment that will come to all of those who transgress against the Most High God. We can sit here today seemingly unaffected now, but there will come a day if we continue in a country that is full of transgressors that have rejected God, that have turned against God. There will be a time come that we also will find ourselves like Israel being brought into that judgment, brought into that place where the consequences of sin will find us out. We're no different than Israel is. We're no different. We're loved no less, nor are we loved anymore. God loved Israel and was gracious to Israel, sent every form of rescue to them, offered in every way to deliver them, to rescue them, to pull them up from their heresy and their darkness and the wickedness that prevailed, and how that she adorned herself with so many of the lovers of this world, the gods of this world that don't exist. Israel flocked to them, cling to them, worship them, offered their children to them, did the most horrific and wicked things, and we know that he is a jealous God. And yet we're reminded in the word of God that when it comes to it, if you fail to repent, you'll find yourselves in the same end as Israel. I read to you from the book of Luke, chapter number 13. The point of that chapter, the point of that reference, was Jesus saying unto them, you think this is the reason they suffered such a death? And then he gave the example of the Tower of Siloam that it fell upon many of them and killed. He said, you think that this is the reason? He said, I say unto you, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. I believe his point being that we can't say one thing or another. Everything that is a violation of the word of God is a transgression. And without repentance, friend, there is judgment for transgressors. We stand in a place as a country where repentance is necessary. It was necessary for Israel and they refused. And they found themselves, as Jeremiah would record in the five books of Lamentations, as he wept on the pages of every script, as he wept as he thought about what God had offered to do and how the people had turned their back, and now they were suffering, now they were in defeat, now they were experiencing the judgment of God, and for decades to come there would be a demise and a mystery that would fill that place, a misery, friend, that God had told them of all the while. We can't think ourselves different in Israel today. Surely God loves us as a people, God loves us as a country, but he does not look over sin. There is a price for transgressions. Always has been. I thank God today that he's not already destroyed us. His mercies are unending and magnified every day. When I think about the thousands and tens of thousands every day, innocent children stripped from a womb and cast into a bucket as if their life meant nothing, I say unto you today that God knows all sin today. He's not missed anything that goes on in this country, in another country. This world has become godless in its ways. A people that never knew God, you might say to them, they have an excuse. There are certainly those in parts of this world that have always worshipped other gods. But that's not the case in this country. That's not the case in Israel. They've known him. They've experienced the goodness of God. And here we, as a nation of Gentile people, founded under the premise that God gives men rights, not a government, not a dictator, but a God, and pounded it upon a faith in this God that he would sustain us and deliver us. And oh, how he has delivered us, and how we've seen revival in the souls of men and churches on every corner, and people that'll stand for God. But may I say to you today, the churches are empty today. We're in a day when we're seeing the effect of sin and the demise and the darkness encroach as men's hearts become more wicked every day. You say there's no help for us. I say to you today that God has not changed. The same God that offered to deliver Israel can deliver us today if we'll seek him. He made a promise to Solomon. He said, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and repent, turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, he said, I will heal their land and save their people. God can still do it. I've no doubt in my mind that God can still do it, but it will require repentance. The only way that restoration has ever come to an individual or a nation is when they turn their back on sin and call on God. When they turn from their ways, you think, how in the world can we get such a wicked society and culture that we live in today to turn back to God? May I say to you today, the word of God has been the only hope they've ever had. When the rich man found himself burning in the torments of hell, he said to Abraham, he said, send Lazarus to my brothers and tell him not to come to this place. He told him, he said, your brothers have got the word. He said, they've got the prophets. They've got the word. He said, let them hear the word. He said, they wouldn't believe even if one came from the dead. And say to you today, we're living in a time when the word of God must be preached. I don't know. Some think that it just happens. I believe we have to seek it. I don't ask somebody to write a message for me. I don't go and look in a book for him. I'm looking for God to speak to us and to give us unction from his holy word and to bring us into a place that our minds are open, our hearts are clear, and we repent of our sin. There was nobody any closer to God, as far as I'm concerned, than Daniel. A man that loved him and believed him proved that. And when God sent the angel unto the prophet Daniel, as he ruled in so many ways in Babylon, the angel came to Daniel and he said to him, he said, thou that art greatly beloved. And he began to share with him truths of what was to come. You see, Daniel had got encouraged. He had been reading the prophet. He had determined from the book of Jeremiah. He had determined from the written word of God that had been passed through the scripts and the scrolls unto him that there was a number of years aside. There was a time when God could. Daniel began to hope for the deliverance of God's people. God sent him a messenger, an angel, began to reveal to him these great truths about the latter days. Now, we're living in a time between the 69 weeks and the last week. I don't want to get into the book of Daniel, but I'll tell you this. We are living in a day of grace. From the period that Jesus Christ rose from the dead until this very day is a day of grace. It is an opportunity for whosoever will to be born again. He doesn't care of what origin, where nationality, whether male or female or bond or free. The Lamb of God has opened up the veil and has invited men to come in. Is this the only time that wickedness prevailed? No, it's prevailed in many a time. There were ages within the history of the earth that were dark ages. They were ages where the word of God was void, where there was no one to preach it and no word that gone out. And yet God made a way through the Reformation, made a way through the preaching of the doctrine, made a way through revivals to awaken the hearts of men in countries all over this world. And he can do that again. But one thing you'll find with the power of God moving is you'll find people repenting. Repentance is out of style, but it's not out of order. There's not one in the room tonight that has no need of repentance. You think you're not a sinner, John said in that little epistle to the church. You've deceived yourself. You say, I have no sin. He said, the truth ain't in you. You're lying to yourself and to others. We have a responsibility. I tell you what gets the attention of God when people began to mourn and weep and sorrow over their sins. The Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, I'm sorry that the first letter brought you to repentance. He said, but I ain't sorry you repented. Said, it tickles me to death that there was a godly sorrow arrested your soul and brought you to your knees. He said, for that is good for you. That'll bring you to God. We're living in a day when compromise is the word. They want to call it tolerance. They want to call everything but what we're trying to do tolerance. And yet we're going to find ourselves in a position where we simply have to decide whether we will negotiate truth or we'll stand on it. There's going to be a great need in this country for a patient and a persevering people that are unyielding and unwilling to give up on the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can't help it that people believe that an unborn child in a woman is no more than a blob of flesh that she has a right to annihilate. But I'll tell you, my God don't believe that. And he never will. We can say we are enlightened, but we are endarkened. If we believe that these things that God has called evil are good, because they are not good. And we need to repent. I'll tell you, Daniel repented. He was as close to God as you could be, and yet he cried out to God. And he said, forgive us. We have sinned against you as a nation. We need to start praying. I can't take full responsibility for the sins of this country. But I am a sinner. And I have a responsibility to be repentant and pray unto God for our people. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. You know why he was called the weeping prophet? Right? It's fairly self-explanatory, is it not? Because it bothered him. His soul was in sorrow for his people because he knew that God would do what he said he was going to do. You'll find in that short book of the Lamentations, there are but five chapters of poems of the broken heart of Jeremiah as he wept not for the repentance of Israel. It was too late. He wept for the destruction of her. He watched as an eyewitness as Nebuchadnezzar came in with his forces. And for years destroyed that city until there was nothing. Burnt every house. Burnt the temple. Took every valuable thing out of it as theirs and took it to Babylon. Burnt every gate of the city, starved the people to a position of surrender and refuge. We find here that God orchestrated this. You say, all the powers of men. I'll tell you right now, there ain't any power that God don't control. There's no power that can come against this country if God is against them. But when we turn our backs on God, we have opened the door for judgment to come. And I can tell you by reading the prophets that there is a point that judgment will come. Judgment will come. As I look into the prophets and I try to find any kind of reference to a country like America, I don't see it. I'll tell you right now, we better be praying. More specifically, we better be repenting. We're living in a country of people that have gone for the false god. They live as if they are gods. You cannot do the things they do without having already assumed you have the power of God to choose. There's a lot of things that are wrong, but I can tell you God is still God. You say, well, we're too far gone. Never for God. All it takes is a country that will repent. Now, what will it take to bring a country to repentance? That, I don't know. But I'll tell you right now, it wouldn't make any difference what it was. If it brought us to our knees and we turned back to God, hallelujah. So be it. How many times did God bring them to famine? Did he bring the pestilence on Israel? Did he bring destruction on Israel? Enemies come in, but he brought them to their knees. And when they turned to God, he restored them. For a little while, they would follow. For a little while, they would observe the truth. We're in a place where it's going to be necessary that we as the people of God are faithful to repent. Repent. What John the Baptist, as I close, what John the Baptist came preaching was repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What Jesus told them there that day was, he said, unless you repent, you'll die just like they did. There is an end to sinful living. Now, I'm not acquiescing to this culture and I'm not giving up. I have a responsibility to stand steadfast, unmovable, until the day of the Lord comes. And if he chooses to take me out before then, so be it. I'm ready to go. But there's no place to lay it down. We, like Jeremiah, we, like Ezekiel, we, like Daniel, have got to maintain, hold the mark, stand for God, live for the truth, declare what is right, regardless of the cost. And let God sort it out. Oh, how I wish we could repent as a country. But the only way we're going to repent is to recognize we're wrong. People won't repent till they're wrong. And the only thing that truly brings an awareness of one's need to repent is truth. It exposes the lies in our heart. God's the only one that I know of that can make this happen. But oh, how I'm praying that he'll hear our prayer. That he'll answer our prayer. That 50 years from now, there'll still be a country on this planet that adheres to a truth that was founded before this world ever existed. People that are unwavering and committed to truth. To the power that God has already displayed. The willingness to repent. I pray that God brings America to a place of repentance. And he can do that. He can do that. There's a price for sin. We can't avoid it. We can't sow to the wind and not expect the whirlwind. Not even rational to think. You cannot live for the enemy and sow the tares and the wickedness that is being sown, not just in this country. I assure you, I don't know of any country that seeks after God. I don't know of any country that could stand and say, we honor the word of God and stand for the power and the work. No, every country is acquiesced to the ungodly wickedness of our day. So he's either going to come or he's going to change this world. Say, how do you know? Because that's what he's done all before. He's going to come back and end this thing, or he's going to change it all. And he can. Repent. Repent. Except you also likewise perish. God knows our heart today. He knows whether we care or don't care. He knows whether we're committed or not committed. He knows whether truth matters or don't matter to us. And I'll tell you, he can sort it out. But I pray that he brings to every one of us a godly sorrow that causes us to repent, to turn from the wickedness, to stand against the wickedness of this nation and this world. And it'll make us an outsider, and it'll make everybody hate us. But it doesn't make any difference in the end. I know who wins this. And I get to go home one of these days. I won't have to fight this battle anymore. But until I do, there is a responsibility for every born-again believer to adhere to the words of our God, to stand for it. Pray. Pray for us. Bow with us if you would. Father, thank you for your word. We're not able to change anybody. But oh, how I pray that you'd change me. You'd open my heart, God, to a greater truth. And may there be a zealous heart within us all to stand for you. God, an unwavering, relentless commitment to be faithful to the banner of Christ, the holiness of your word, the power of your truth. Help us, we pray. We realize that all are against us, many, Father, that certainly would be filled with hatred to the church itself, to the work that your Son has done. We thank you for your work, for the power of your Holy Spirit to continue to speak and to call and to reach for the sinner. Help us to repent. We trust you in all of this as we ask it, believing in Jesus' name. Amen.